thank the Lord for technology. I'm telling you, otherwise, if I would have had to have led us, we would not have gotten through it. Those of you that have been here before when I've had to lead it, it's been rough. I can sing as long as I am blended in with other people and I'm not leading it. All right, let's go to Psalm 145. Nonetheless, those are some good songs and good words. Always love being reminded that we are redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ owns us, yet he calls us his friends. We are the children of God, and it encourages us in this world that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We have our treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We know we're going to heaven, and we're looking forward to that. Doesn't matter how crazy the world gets between now and then. We know the King of Kings is going to set it all straight, and even right now, it's all in his hands. He's in control. So, Psalm 145, we'll read the entire chapter, and then we'll break it down. So, Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, excuse me, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Father, we do thank you for the songs that we were able to see and to sing. And Father, we do thank you that, Father, we have been redeemed, no longer under the power of the devil, no longer headed to that dark place that the Bible calls hell. But Lord, our feet have been set upon a straight path, and Lord, we go forward following the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day we'll see him face to face. And we thank you, Father, for the hope that we have within ourselves as we wait for the blessed hope. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time tonight. Guide us through the scriptures tonight. I pray that you would encourage our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, convict our hearts. Whatever our need is tonight, Lord, we ask that you'd answer it, Father, in the way that you only you can. Father, do ask that you would bless your people in a very special way tonight. And again, Father, I thank you for the common bond that we have, and that is Jesus Christ. And we pray it all in his precious name. Amen. Excuse me, Psalm 145, there's many truths in here tonight. I want to just look at a reason why we should praise and magnify God in our life. There's several reasons laid out in this chapter in Psalms. And when you look at what David writes in verse number one, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. That word extol means to praise, to magnify. And that's exactly what we as God's people want to do every day of our life, is to praise God and to magnify him in our life, not just because we've been redeemed, not just because we're saved and on our way to heaven, and we have the hedge of protection around us, but we're going to see some more reasons in these verses tonight based on who God is. Now, God deserves for us to praise him for who he is and not just for what he does for us. Now, he does a lot for us. He bestows his blessings upon us every day. His mercies are new every day. I mean, his compassions, he's faithful. And in these verses, I just want to see the real reasons why we should praise him, because he is an awesome God. He is a faithful God. He's a gracious God, a compassionate God. And really, if everybody knew, truly knew how God was and truly knew God, I'm talking even the lost, if the lost people really knew the God that we serve and the God that gives them the very breath in their lungs and allows their hearts to beat, they would praise him as well, because God deserves to be praised. And just off the bat, keep a finger here, but I want you to go to one of my favorite verses in Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Really, in the middle of a week on a Wednesday, it's a good thing to think about the reasons why we do praise God and why we should magnify him. Even in the middle of the week, it really doesn't matter what has happened on Monday and Tuesday and even today. What matters is that today we just think about the goodness of God and we just praise God for being who he is. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we're told, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Again, God has created all things. I mean, even nature itself, this world that he created, it's all for him. Even we, even the people that inhabit this earth were created for him. And obviously, again, as God's people, he deserves for us to praise him for who he is, magnify him. I mean, obviously, thank him for the things he's done for you. Thank him for the things that he's done today for you. Really think about what he's done today. Every day we need to recognize what God's done. There's not a single thing that God does not do for us. But again, we do want to praise and magnify him for who he is. The first thing I want us to see down in verse number 8 is the fact that God is gracious. We need to praise God and magnify him for his graciousness in our life. It says the Lord is gracious. Go to Psalm 86. Back up maybe a few pages to Psalm 86. And as we break down Psalm 145, we'll look at some other verses to go along with them. Again, just thinking about the graciousness of God and how God is gracious to us every day. And to remind us, grace is not getting what you deserve. It could also be grace is, Help me out, Sandra. Read my mind. Pull it out. All right, anyway, look at Psalm 86. It'll come to me in a second, hopefully. Psalm 86, 86 and verse number 5. Psalm 86, verse number 5. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." I mean, think about that. Think about the grace of God, ready to forgive. That when we mess up, he's ready to offer forgiveness when we come to him. That reminds us of 1 John 1:9. "Faithful is he to forgive us and to cleanse us." I'm chopping that one up too tonight. Hold on. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All right, so Psalm 86, verse 5, let me continue reading that. "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Psalm 116 and verse 5 says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Again, I mean, God is just gracious towards us. I mean, he's very patient. He's very faithful. He remembers our frame is but dust. And again, when you think about God's grace, God is not, as some people think, standing there ready to smack you on the head with a 2x4 when you step out of line. And I want you to see this. Go to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. Remember, Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, and God asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach the wrath of God, to preach that God's wrath was going to come upon them because they were a very wicked people. And Jonah did not know that God was going to have grace upon them. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord, this is Jonah, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach destruction, to preach wrath, because they were a wicked city. Now, obviously, when you read the whole book of Jonah, you see where the people of Jonah, from the king all the way down to the poorest person, they repented in dust and ashes. They sought God and just threw themselves on the mercy of God just in case that God would spare their lives. And God did, because they changed. They turned to God for his grace and for his mercy. But Jonah forgot that. Jonah was mad. You go back up, and Jonah did not do what God asked him to do the first time. When God said, go to Nineveh, the Bible records in Jonah that Jonah went down and got into a ship to go to Tarshish, to go in the opposite direction. He was running from the presence of God, the Bible tells us, and you cannot run from the presence of God. And God allows Jonah, because God prepared a great fish. God prepared a whale. Jonah was cast into the sea because of a great storm. Jonah told the sailors that the storm was because of him. He knew it was because of him. But at the same time, he was hoping he would still get out of doing what God wanted him to do. They threw him overboard. The whale swallows him. And for 3 days and three nights, he's in the whale's belly. Then he prays after 3 days and three nights. He realizes God is not going to let him off the hook. God is going, God wants him to, and will send him to Nineveh. You can't fight against God, but God is very gracious, was very gracious to Jonah. And obviously Jonah ends up going to Nineveh, but he still is mad about what God does. God shedding his grace upon people that Jonah didn't think deserved it. There may be people in our life right now, or have been in our life, where we didn't think deserved the mercy or grace of God. But guess what? We don't either. I don't. But man, God's love is so great, and God is not willing that any should perish. He loves every single person, and he's very gracious, and we want to praise him for the grace in our life. Jonah is a wonderful example that, again, we haven't done everything right in our life, and we can look, I can look in my own life and see the grace of God and think, man, I am not deserving of your grace, Lord, but I'm so thankful for your grace. So we praise the Lord for his grace. Second thing I want you to see, go back if you would, to Psalm 145. I want us to see the second reason why we need to praise and magnify God in our life. Also found in verse number 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Again, God's gracious to us, and he's compassionate to us. He's full of compassion. Go to Psalm 78, if you would. And while you turn to Psalm 78, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And it says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Remember this, the Lord saw, his people in slavery. He saw the Israelites being mistreated. He saw them being mistreated by the taskmasters and all of that. And it says of God that he heard their cry. He saw their affliction. And guess what? He raises up Moses to go in and to deliver them. God has compassion on things that we face, on the sorrows that we have, on the hardships that we go through. You're in Psalm 78, look at verse 35 through 39. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You know, God's people, Israelites, you read back in the Old Testament, they were constantly going up and down in their faith with God. And yet God was always compassionate when they would cry out to him because they finally got to the end of their rope and they realized that they needed God. And God was compassionate to raise up a judge to deliver them out of the oppression that he allowed them to go into. It goes on to say, but even after all this, even after God knew that they were flattering with their mouth, lying with their tongues, their heart was not right with him, they were not steadfast in his covenant, but he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. It's just a wonderful reminder for us that we understand that God deserves to be praised for his compassion. For his compassion, for his grace towards us. He remembers our frame is but dust. He loves us very much. He knows that we struggle in our life. He knows the hardships we go through. He knows the temptations of wanting to quit at times and give up. And yet God's always there for us. When we cry out to him, he has compassion towards his children, and you are a child of God. Look again at verse number 8 of Psalm 145. The third thing that we kind of see that we need to remember to praise God for, magnify him in our life about, is in verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, and then he's slow to anger and of great mercy. He's slow to anger. Really, verse 8 really tells us how God responded to Nineveh. Again, if you go back to the book of Jonah and you read about Nineveh, again, Nineveh was just a wicked city. They did wickedness towards people. They were cruel to people. They tormented people. They tortured people, all these things. And yet when they, even when the most wickedest person in their heart turns to God and cries out for mercy and cries out for God to help them, because of their heart turning to him, God has compassion and God's merciful. You see it all throughout Scripture. Even see, I mean, what sweet words to hear when you're hanging on the cross for crimes you've committed and you finally realize that the one hanging next to you truly is the Son of God, and that unnamed thief says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was after he rebuked the other thief and said, we're getting what we deserve, but this man's done nothing amiss. And then he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, it's a wonderful thing that you don't have to sit there and name everything wrong you did in your life. It's simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and he forgives you. Again, 1 John 1:9 does teach us, though, we do need to, when we know we've done something wrong, confess it to the Lord, name it, all right? But someone that's crying out to the Lord for salvation doesn't need to give the whole laundry list of their sin. God already knows it. He just wants you to put your faith and trust in him, and it reminds us that God is slow to anger and of great mercy. I'm glad for myself, and I'm sure you are, that there was a day in your life that the Lord came to you and spoke to your heart about your need of needing salvation. And just thinking about your life, whatever your past life entails before salvation, just how God would still love you and still want you into his family and still offer the gift of salvation. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that God is so slow to anger and of great mercy. Sometimes people will say they need to get what's coming to them. God doesn't need to be merciful to them. God doesn't need to be gracious to them. But we, and I say we as Christians as a whole, have to remind ourselves that God's been very merciful. God's been slow to anger with me. And he is of great mercy. In Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Again, New Testament, we're told God's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want one single person to perish without Jesus Christ. Have there been people that perished without Christ, without believing on Christ? Yes. But God's not willing that any should. God is willing that all would come to repentance, all would put their faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet not everybody will, but it tells us that God is loving, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, and a great mercy. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." God is not like man. Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving people. Sometimes we have a hard time forgetting what someone's done. Yet God is merciful. God's willing to forgive. God's willing to pardoneth the iniquity of anybody that will call upon his name. And it's a wonderful thing that God is faithful in this area. Again, he said in Lamentation, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Those last two phrases, they are new every morning. I'm glad that God's mercies are new every morning. I'm glad he's faithful at it. You know, God has never failed to be faithful to us. He's never failed to be faithful in any of his promises. He's never failed to be faithful to someone who cries out to him with a broken heart, with a repentant heart, seeking him. He's never turned anybody away. And aren't you glad that he never turns you away? I'm glad he never turns me away. When I cry out to him, I'm glad that he hears my voice. I'll admit there are times where I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, and the devil wants to discourage me and try to get me to believe that God's not hearing me, but that's not true. Because again, it's not about a feeling, it's faith. I know God sees me, I know God hears me, I know that God even sees the trials I go through, the spiritual battles I go through, as well as you. The devil wants us to believe that God has forgotten to be merciful, that he's not faithful anymore. I mean, when I don't know if you've ever felt like that, if you've ever felt like your prayers were not going anywhere, and the devil starts picking on you and telling you, see, God's not listening. And we have to remind the devil he needs to go home, because there's a place that's prepared for him, the lake of fire, and he just needs to go home. We're the children of God. All he can do is get into our minds. And we have to remind ourselves, remind ourselves of the truth of who God is. He's merciful, slow to anger, compassionate, and he's gracious. And we praise the Lord for that, because nobody else is like God. God is faithful in all his attributes. Look at verse number 9, Psalm 145. Next thing I want us to see that we need to praise the Lord every day for and magnify him for in our life, because he's worthy of our praise. Remember, David said at the beginning, "I will extol thee, my God, O King." Says, "I will praise thee, I will magnify thee," because in verse number 9, the Lord is good to all. The Lord's good to all. There's not one single person God is not good to. You might meet somebody that says, "God's never been good to me." Well, apparently they're lying, because if they're talking, they're breathing, and that means God has allowed breath in their lungs and blood to be pumping through their body, so God has been good to them. There's not a single person God hasn't been good to, but you and me as the children of God, as his people, he is extra special. Where's good English, right, Mom? I forgot what I was going to say. He is extra special to his children. I'll put it that way. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Because put it this way, as a parent, I'm going to be extra specially good. I'm going to be extra good to my own kids. Someone else's kid, I'll be good too. I'll share a slice of pizza with them if they're at my house, but my kids, I'll give two slices. Kind of understand, because, I mean, they're your kids and you're kind of, you know, you love them. But God is good. He's good to all. In Romans 10, verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. God chose the Israelites, the Jews, as his people. But obviously, he's opened up salvation to the entire world. Gentiles and Jews alike are in the family of God who put their faith and trust in God and in Jesus Christ. Again, he says in Romans 10, 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Again, he's singing God's good to both the saved farmer and the lost farmer. Both of them have their fields rained upon. Both of them will have crops that grow. But God, I believe, is especially good to his children. All right, he's good to all. Salvation is for all. But the eternal treasures that you and I can receive are only for us. And he's good to every single one of his children. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, this is Peter when he went to the house of Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius was a centurion, and he was a man that feared God. He was a man that prayed to God. He was a man that gave alms to God's people. Even in history, it's recorded that Cornelius even had a synagogue built for the Jews in the town that he was in. And God came to Cornelius and spoke to Cornelius and told him that he needed to send for Peter, who would come and speak words to him. Because even though Cornelius feared God, worshiped God, he did good things for God's people, yet he was not saved. And God was gracious and merciful to Cornelius, to speak to Cornelius, to tell him to go send for Peter, to tell exactly where to go and all this. And then we come to verse 34, where Peter realizes that salvation is for all and not just the Jews. In verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God accepts those. Now, again, God knew Cornelius was not saved. He was religious. He was a good man. He did good things, but he still needed to be saved. And God sent Peter to speak the gospel to him, to present Christ to him. And you read on in that chapter, Cornelius and everyone in his house that believed, they got saved and they were baptized. And Peter had to learn that salvation was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Because even before that, in that same chapter, you read again previous verses, and Peter was on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, waiting for the meal to be cooked and waiting to eat, and he fell into a trance, the Bible says, and the Lord showed him a sheet knitted at four corners being let down. He looked upon it, all these beasts and all these creeping things, all these unclean animals that they were not supposed to eat according to their dietary laws that God gave them. And he heard a voice, he heard the Lord say, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean or uncommon has come into my mouth. And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, call it not common or unclean. All right, so Peter had to learn that God was giving salvation, both Gentiles and Jews alike. All right, so again, you think about it, we praise the Lord because he's good to all people. Again, that's why we pray for people. That's why you pray for loved ones, that God would open their eyes, that God would show himself mighty in their lives, draw them unto him, and God does. Again, I mean, what's the purpose of allowing the rain to fall upon the lost farmer's field and the sunshine and for his crops to grow, to draw them to Christ, to let them see that, you know what? He did nothing for those crops to grow. Sure, he may have plowed the field, he may have planted the seed, but without God allowing it to grow, it's not going to grow. Same thing in our life. We have to remind ourselves that nothing happens in our life without God allowing it, good or bad. And again, if we're wanting God to do something great in our life, we're wanting God to provide in some miraculous way, it is God that does it. And God is good to us all the time. Look again in verse number 9 of chapter 145 of Psalm. So Psalm 145, verse 9 again. I mean, tonight I just want to remind us that we serve an awesome God who deserves our praise every day. He deserves to be magnified, in our life for who he is. And we do thank him for the things he does for us. I'm thankful that he gave protection all day to me as I drove around. Went to work this morning, came home, went out to a couple stores with my wife, came home. I'm glad for that. But again, we want to praise him for who he is just as much, if not more, for what he does. In Psalm 145, look at verse 9 again. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His tender mercies over all his works. His providence. His providence in our life, we need to praise him for. Back up, if you would, a couple pages of Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In verses 2 and 3. Now, whether someone acknowledges it or not, God helps us a lot. God helps us a lot. Look at Psalm 121, verse 2 and 3. The psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You and I, as God's children, are in the palm of his hand. He is always there. He's always available to help us, and our help truly does come from the Lord. His tender mercies are over all his works, everything he does in our life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this in verse 44 and 45, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Again, even that was the reference I was talking about earlier, about Lord just allowing it to rain on the lost farmer's field, the saved farmer's field. But God's providence, his mercy, his tender mercies are over all his works, everything that he does in our life. Again, I love it when David says in Psalm, my help cometh from the Lord. Every day we have to recognize that our help comes from the Lord. There's nothing we can do without God helping us. And someone might think, well, no, with my own two hands, I've done it. But God gave us the strength. God gave us the ability. God gave us the knowledge to be able to even do that. I remember because several of our kids, when they were younger, had kidney surgeries. Several of them had kidneys that needed to be operated on. And all but one had the same surgeon. Well, she had the same surgeon too, but she had a second surgeon that botched things up. But I remember one time, my wife and I had the privilege of talking to our surgeon. We got to know him really well, because we had several kids and that ended up having to go to him. But he knew we were Christians and stuff. And I remember, I mean, he would just say it all the time. I'm just going to make it happen. Because we talk about the surgery, how it was going to go. And he just said, we'll make it happen. But he always did let us pray with him. And I remember praying one time. I forget which child it was. But my wife was able to pray with him. And I thanked the Lord for giving him the ability to do what he does. Smart man, top-rated surgeon in his field. In fact, I mean, at the time, I think he was the only one, right? He was the only one really in that field. And you know, everybody went to him. You know, if you had to have a certain kidney surgery like this, you had to go to him. I mean, just very smart. But as we prayed for him, we thanked the Lord for giving him the ability to go to school, to learn everything, and to give him the wisdom to come up with these different surgical procedures and all of that. And afterwards, he thanked us for that. He says, wow, I've never had someone pray for us like that. And, you know, I'm hoping he gets saved. I don't know if he has, and we've talked to him and given him tracts and wrote him a letter and stuff. But I just want to, what I'm just saying is that my help cometh from the Lord. Whether someone recognizes or not, there's not a single person that can do anything without God helping them. And we just need to recognize that every day, even today. You know, think back on your day and think back on some things you did and just thank the Lord that he helped you to accomplish it. Thank the Lord he helped you not to get hurt if you were doing something that you could have got hurt doing. All right? Again, always recognizing that our help comes from the Lord. Go back, if you would, Psalm 145. Look at verse 14. It says, in verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The Lord upholdeth all those that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. No, God has his divine support for us. Again, there are times where we don't recognize that God's the one holding us up. God's the one helping us. God's the one that's carrying us at many times. In Isaiah 41 in verse 10, God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God says of himself to you and to me? I am thy God. I'm your God. That's why David, throughout his Psalms, where he would say, you're my God. And God says, I'm your God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's God speaking. That's not Isaiah. God is saying, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's God's divine support in our life. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Oh, what's that? Sandra, I can't think of the verse, but though I fall, help me out. Y'all remember where it's at? She's my assistant. It's okay. Also, she knows better. All right. And I came to have my mind, and it's just sometimes when you're up here speaking, you have verses come to your mind that you weren't thinking about before, and you can't remember where they're at. But that is a good one because, I mean, it does, that verse I'm thinking about, it does talk about, though I fall, I shall not utterly be cast down. I mean, there's just times in life, spiritually, you trip, you fall. And just like a parent teaching a new child how to walk, and then they let go, and that child starts to fall, and that parent will catch that child. In fact, little Joey is sitting up now all by himself, and I had him on the deck the other day, and he was sitting there and just, you know, having a grand old time, and then I'm watching him, and I see him do this. Start to go back. You know what's going to happen? He's not going to catch himself. So I kind of had my foot right there on his back, and he just kind of slowly, you know, went down, but without crashing. So Daddy, he was okay. You know, Pop took care of him. But you know, again, just like a parent always watching that child, God always watches us. God always watches us, and He's there to catch us. He's there to help us. All right, He says, for fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All right, so God upholds us. You need to praise Him for that, that God helps you through a day. And you know what? one of the great things that God does too, to hold us up, sometimes we may, depending on what time of year it is, depending on what you're thinking about, what's happened in your life, there are certain times of the year that can get you down. And the Lord's there to help you and to me to be encouraged during those times. He's there to help lift our spirits, to help us to be reminded that He is good to us. He's never left us, and He loves us. And we can lean upon, if I can say, we can lean upon His shoulder. He's always there for us. In verse 17 of Psalm 145, again, praising the Lord for who He is and what He does in our life and magnifying Him in the things that He does for us. In verse 17, it says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy. And holy in all His works. So we can praise the Lord again. He's faithful, He's gracious, He's merciful. Yet He is righteous and holy in all His ways. Now I want you to look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. You might think, when we read these verses, you might think, well, how does that go with God being righteous and holy in all His ways? Think about it as we read these verses. Psalm 19 and verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Those verses are talking about the Word of God. The Word of God that's true, the Word of God that's faithful, the Word of God that is without error, the Word of God that comforts us, the Word of God that gives us wisdom, the Word of God that guides us. And back in Psalm 145, the psalmist said, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." Think about His word. His word is true. His word is peaceable. His word is righteous. His word is comforting. Not everybody is true to their word. You ever met somebody that was not true to their word? I remember I don't remember the day I wasn't born, but I remember my grandfather and my dad talking about it. My grandfather had a 1967 Chevy pickup. I loved riding in it with him. It was a 3-speed on the column. It was a big, heavy-duty truck. And you could get 2 grown men sitting on either side of the engine. There was so much room. You can barely get your arm under the hood now in the cars that we drive. But I remember it was supposed to be given to me. I was supposed to inherit that truck. I remember one time I was asking my dad, you know, where's the title? He said, there's no title. You'd have to go and get a title, because back in the day when my grandfather bought the truck, he bought it on a handshake. They didn't give titles back then. It was your word. I wish it was like that today. Now, a lot of people there are people that are good to their word, all right? There are some people that are good to their word. There are some people that are not good to their word. When you think about the Lord being righteous in all his way and holy in all his works, he's true to his word. So as you and I continue to read and study God's word, everything we read in God's word about the Lord and about his dealings with people and about his faithfulness, we can trust it. He's true. He's righteous. He's holy in all his ways. His word declares it. Again, I want you to think about what he says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And oh, there is great reward in keeping God's word, in trusting it, allowing it to guide our path, allowing it to be the lamp unto our feet, the light into our path, reminding ourselves to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. It's the fact that God is always righteous and holy, and everything he does, his word is true. Back in verse 18 of Psalm 145, two more reasons to praise God on a daily basis and to magnify him for who he is. Verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Again, God is nigh. He is near unto all of them. He's near unto you when you call upon him. Look at Psalm 46, if you would. Yeah, it just speaks of the fact that God is our protector. We can run to God in time of need. God's always there. He's always close by. In Psalm 46, in verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, or think about these things. It's a pause. Think about these things. God is our refuge and strength. I think he might be, could be, but that he is. You and I, just like David, can say God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always there. Again, it's a great reminder. We know it. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But again, sometimes, just like I said earlier, there's been times where I feel like my prayers are not going anywhere. There's a spiritual battle going on. And yet I know by faith that God's there. He sees me. He hears me. And he's going to help me. And I have to get my thoughts off of the lies of the devil, that he wants me to sit there and think that God doesn't hear me, God doesn't care. I go, nope, God does, because I'm a child of his. And it's wonderful to see when God does come through. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll say this, sometimes though, he wants you to wait. That's a four-letter word I don't like. There's a lot of four-letter words I don't like people say, but I don't like that one, wait. Because I want it now, right? We live in the age of instant, wanting things instant. And sometimes we feel like, well, if I pray, then I should open my eyes and it be done. And God wants us sometimes just to take refuge in him, just to take comfort that everything's fine, everything will be okay. Remember what Hannah did when Hannah was overwhelmed with wanting to have children and she couldn't, and she was being ridiculed by her adversary. She was, her husband's other wife was tormenting her as well. The devil's tormenting her. in her mind and stuff as she went and poured out her heart to the Lord. God was her refuge and strength. And she poured out her heart to the Lord, told the Lord what she desired, left it in the Lord's hands. And the Bible says she walked away, her countenance was sad no more because she left the results up in God's hand. And guess what? God blessed her. She had to wait. She didn't know that she was on God's timetable to have a child. It wasn't time until God opened her womb and allowed her to have that son that was named Samuel. God was going to use that young boy to be a judge and a prophet to his people. Hannah didn't know that. Later on, she finds out, but she didn't know that. But God knows exactly what he's doing, and that's why we can say God is our refuge and God is our strength, the very present help in trouble. He's always there when we call upon him. And listen, I say this, when you do call upon God and you do pray and you pour out his heart, your heart to him, leave it there. Don't take it back up. I mean, just picture yourself. Picture in the Old Testament, picture the priests. People would bring their sacrifices to the priest. The priest would slay the sacrifice. If it was a bullock or a lamb, they would slay it. They would put it on the altar. It would be burned. Guess what? You couldn't take it back. It was burned. It was consumed. That's what it's supposed to be for us. When we pour out our heart to the Lord and we pray, we leave it there on the altar. But we're all tempted to get up from our prayers and to walk away and start thinking about it again and think about, well, how's it going to work out? What's God going to do? Is God going to come through? I don't know if I can face this again. I don't know how long I can. It's like, wait a minute. We just prayed and put it in God's hands, and God knows exactly what to do. Remember, God is nigh unto them that call upon him. And when we call upon him, we have to trust that God will take care of it. We no longer have to think about, just like Hannah no longer had a sad countenance. She didn't have to think about having children. She wasn't going to allow the devil to pick on her anymore. Wasn't going to allow Peninnah, the second wife, to torment her and tease her anymore. It's totally in God's hands, and she knew God would take care of it. Last thing I want us to think about, look at verse number 20. Psalm 145 and verse number 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Last place I want you to look is John chapter 10. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. The words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus says, no man can pluck you or me, any child of his, out of his hand. He goes on to say in verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Lord preserves our life. You know what? Though this flesh continues to get older, continues to decay, continues to need health assistance, yet God preserves our life. You and I know that one day we're going to get that new body. We're going to get that glorified body. One day we're going to see the Lord face to face. But every day God preserves us. Every day God keeps us healthy. He keeps us going. He keeps us motivated. He keeps us strengthened. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. And the greatest thing is that we can praise the Lord about is our salvation. And if you know what? I could have even started at that one. I could have started at number 9. These are 9 reasons to praise God and magnify him in our life. Number 9 speaks about salvation. You know what? If you're ever at a point in your life where you cannot, it's a bad time in your life. It's been a bad day. It's been a rough week. And you're having a hard time even thinking about anything to praise God about. Start right there. Salvation. And guess what? Once you do that, once I do that,
other things come to mind, because you thank the Lord, praise Him for your salvation, and you praise Him for His greatness and His faithfulness and His mercy and His grace and all His attributes of who He is. He's holy, He's merciful, and the fact that He considers you, He considers me, He thinks about you and about me. I mean, there's many more things that you can praise God about. These are just a few things. But every day I want to encourage us, continue praising God. You know what? Even make it a habit. Even as I think about it, I'm not in the habit of writing things down, but as I think about it, because I know my wife does this every day. Maybe you already do it. You know, maybe I'm the only one that doesn't, you know, write things down. And I probably should, because I forget a lot of things. But every day, write down some things that you're thankful for. Write down some things that you're grateful for about God, that God's done for you. I think that will help us and help God's people to keep a right focus, to keep a right heart with God. And it'll help us not to allow the things of this world to drag us down emotionally and spiritually, to always remember every day to praise God, magnify Him in our life, not the things in this world. Let's magnify God. Remember what happened with the children of Israel when they wouldn't go into the promised land? They magnified the giants over God instead of magnifying God. Now, there were 10 spies that were magnifying the giants, and Joshua and Caleb were magnifying God and saying, no, our God is able. Our God has given us this land. And that's what we need to do every day. Magnify God in your life. Magnify God in the situations of your life and praise Him for His ability, for His faithfulness, for His mercy, and for His grace in your life. Let's have a word of prayer.